My next guest is on the line. She's Advocate Stephanie Fick, the Executive Director of the Accountability Division at OUTA, the organization undoing tax abuse. And we're going to be chatting about the new auto demerit system, the delay in implementation, and everything else relating to that particular system. So, Advocate Fick, thank you so much for chatting to me this afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's only my pleasure.
So the government is arguing that the auto demerit system is going to improve road safety. From your, that's OUTA's perspective, is this system truly about safety, or is it more about revenue and additional layers of bureaucracy, which heaven knows we don't need?
No, it's definitely about, in our view, that that layers of bureaucracy, that's not working in their favor, because that's why the implementation of ORTA has been postponed yet again. And it's definitely revenue driven. If you think about the problem of road safety, there's no single legislation that will cure that problem, as the two of us are talking this afternoon, because there's so many factors you have to take into consideration if you want to fix road safety. First, it's driver behavior. So if you argue that R2 is going to change driver behavior, I don't think they have the numbers to prove that. They will tell you, but it's because the demerit point system has never been in play. But R2 was signed as legislation, if you want to call it, the original R2 was signed in 1998 and came into operation in Joburg and Tshwane in 2008. And I beg to differ from them that that hasn't changed driver behavior. But driver behavior is not the only factor. We need to look at the condition of our roads. Now, we all know, and specifically in Johannesburg, we struggle with the road surfaces, and the infrastructure is falling apart. And if you don't fix that, you're definitely not going to fix the number of road deaths on our roads. And then thirdly, you need to look at the conditions of the motor vehicles. And then obviously you need to look at conditions and all of that. But those are the three that I think you have sort of control over. No one has control over the weather. But if you don't address all those factors, you are never going to make a dent in road safety. So to come back to your original question, no. I think if the department wants to start with something and wants to start with driver behavior, is to education, look at education at schools, etc. And then secondly, more visible policing. You need more policing on the ground in order to have an impact on driver behavior.
I must say, you're making a whole lot of sense to me. But just for the sake of our discussion this afternoon, I just want to understand this auto demerit system a little bit more. How can you briefly explain how it works, and why OUTA believes it might be too complicated for effective implementation?
The demerit point system is really a sanction. So OUTA is, if you think about it, is not changing the law per se. So if you drunk driving is still an offense. In fact, you can't do anything about drunk driving under R2. R2 is just the system. So R2 is an administrative system. They say that they want to keep people out of the sort of the criminal procedure system. So you don't have to go to a court. You can deal with R2 administratively, and then the demerit point system is really a sanction at the end of the road. So you have to go through a very elaborate administrative system. And if you are not successful with representations, or you admit, fault, you did park in the wrong spot, and if that offense then carries a demerit point, you will get a demerit point. The more demerit points you have, it's cumulative. So you get 2, 3, 4, and when you reach 15, it means that your driver's license is suspended. So there's basically two sanctions in R2. The one is that you can't renew your driver's license, and you can't renew your motor vehicle license. And then thirdly, it's this demerit points that at the end, when you reach 15, means your driver's license card is suspended. And then obviously you can do a few things, and as time goes by and you're not driving, you're not committing these offenses, then the demerit points gets less and less and less, and then you can drive again. When you've reached 15 points more than once, then obviously you can talk about the fact that your driver's license can then be taken away from you, and you have to apply from start. So it's the best way I can describe it, it is sort of a sanction. And there's only certain crimes. Unfortunately, I can't help motorists at this point because the regulations was withdrawn. But, you know, certain offences will carry certain amount of demerit points. So if you commit that offence, you pay the fine, you'll get a demerit point. And yeah, and then you go from there. I hope that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I'm listening to you, but I'm thinking this sounds like a very marvelous first world piece of legislation in a third world environment. And I would bet everything I owned on the fact that this could never work in practice. There is no ways that you are going to make this stick against errant, for example, taxi drivers. It's just not going to happen. There'd be civil war before this actually was implemented properly.
It is, and the proof of that is, in 2008, the original R2 Act was rolled out in Joburg and Tshwane. It was never rolled out nationwide. It was supposed to. Joburg and Tshwane was a pilot project. They had problems right from the start, and the demerit point system in terms of that R2 Act was never implemented. So since 2008... And now with the new R2, all they changed was, you know, you can't elect to be tried in court. They made it totally administrative. Even now they have problems rolling it out totally. I mean, what they have said is the first 69 municipalities, it will be rolled out December. And then next year, the rest, and then we will have a demerit point system. All of that has been withdrawn, all of it. So again, the new R2, and I'm talking about the new, is just to make provision for the fact that you have an original R2 Act and then an R2 Act with new amendments, is now that's not being rolled out. We are still stuck in the whole of the country is dealing with a different system, and Joburg and Tshwane is dealing with R2. Because they are. It is a problem for them to roll it out successfully.
So let's talk about the rollout. It should have been rolled out by now, I believe. Now it's only expected to be rolled out around mid-2027. I mean, I think that tells us a hell of a lot about government readiness.
Yes, and it goes to your point that if they are struggling this much, I mean, if you have someone from the department on here, they will probably say, but here are the struggles. I can only sit from the outside and you know, fighting on behalf of motorists that the system is not working. You can see the system is not working. You are basically, you know, flogging a dead horse here. And your own administrator, you were unable to make sure that your own administrative system is working. Isn't that a message? And isn't it time that we spent the money on really reducing the carnage on our roads instead of trying to make a system that is clearly not working?
That's probably a really great place to leave it, because you've dealt with all the aspects I wanted to deal with this afternoon. There's just something I'd like to add to the pie here. That is, I lived in Australia some time ago. I was speaking about this just before you got online. All this did, the implementation of the system, was that it created a market, a trading market for points, because people who were about to lose their licenses and have them cancelled got relatives, friends, whoever was willing, who had points, to put up their hands and say, it was me, it was my fault, I was really driving the car. Cash would be exchanged, and there was a whole trade in points that became completely commonplace since they established that system. And I just think if that happened in a society like Australia, which to its core is incredibly law-abiding, I shudder to think what would happen in South Africa. I'm just wondering if you had heard of that or what you think of that.
No, it's an interesting point you're raising. But the whole idea of corruption has obviously reared its head, because we are struggling with corruption, and specifically corruption in this whole traffic fine space. I mean, I think we've talked about it before, the fact that you go to a roadblock, and again, I was in a roadblock, sort of beginning to think that it's a waste of time. But only, you know, a roadblock should be there to check, you know, for licenses and all of that, not to check whether I have outstanding fines, which you cannot force me to pay for. And what will happen if I have, you know, that last point and trying to, you know, say to a traffic officer, you know, let me go, and you have motor vehicles that's not really registered, you have drivers that is, you know, getting licenses and not going through the tests and all of that. You have so many other problems that I cannot think what will happen if something like that has to get wind here in South Africa. We have to compare apples with apples. We are an emerging economy. We are a developing country, not a developed country like, for example, Australia. But I can tell you that we took, you know, snippets of the pieces of legislation of all first world countries and try and implement it here. Not to say that there's something wrong with the legislation. It's just, how are we going to implement it in our country where we have different problems? You first need to address the problems.
Advocate Stephanie Fick, as always, thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM.